Good morning, everybody. A few months ago, I saw a bumper sticker, and it really struck me, because most of them kind of make me angry. But this one really stuck with me, and it simply said, "I choose to be grateful." I choose to be grateful. And I don't know about you, but this weather is getting a little on my nerves. And I got into the complaining mode, and I said, you know what? I can be great. There's things I can still be grateful, even when that white fluffy stuff is falling on the ground. One of the things that I am grateful for is my snowblower. I am so grateful that I have a snowblower. And another thing that I am grateful for is that not every month in the year is like February. It's going to change, I promise. And so hold on to that. Hold on to that while you're cursing that white stuff falling from the sky. And another thing that I am grateful for is having Ron and Tina Little back with us. For those of you who do not know, they have moved back from Arizona. And so I am grateful for that. Yes. Well, except for the white stuff on the ground. And in fact, I blame them for the weather because it was really nice until they came back. So, and you can imagine their bodies are a little cold. All right, we're going to continue our message on wall builders. And we have been talking about the body of Christ as it relates to our physical bodies, the different parts that we have, the different parts that work together. And the body of Christ is to be like the body in motion, the body as it operates, as it functions. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 25 through 27, it says, "So that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." So whether you realize it or not, you are a very integral part of the body of Christ. And it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. It doesn't matter how you feel in your physical body. You are still a part, an active part, supposed to be an active part of the body of Christ. And so we looked at a verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20. And we started to look at a few issues that have been brought to light in the church in Corinth. And this is Paul's talking to the church through one of his letters. And he says, "For I am afraid that when I come, I may not find you as I want you to be." This is chapter 12, verse 20. "And you may not find me as you want me to be. I fear that there may be discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, slander, gossip, arrogance, and disorder." And he says, he lists these things, and he says, "I'm afraid that when I come, I'm going to find these things at work in the church that is in Corinth." And if they are, you're probably not going to like it when I show up. So here is a shepherd who is very concerned about the health of the church in Corinth. And he says, "These things, I'm afraid that they may be showing up in the church, and I am going to come and take care of those things." And last week, we looked at jealousy, and the next one is going to be fits of rage. I don't think we really need to address fits of rage as a member of the body of Christ, fits of rage should not be in your repertoire. It really shouldn't. And you know, I talk about my driving a lot. But I want you to know that I do not have fits of rage. I have fits of anger, but not rage. I have never been involved in a road rage incident, although many people think I have. I have not. But fits of rage is a total different level, and it should not be a part of the body of Christ. The next one we're going to look at is selfish ambition. And actually, I think we looked at that last week, too, in James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18, talking about harboring bitter envy and selfish ambition. If we have these things in our lives, they're not from God. They are not from Him. It says that we are to put aside, to put to death, to set aside the desires of our flesh and instead walk in the Spirit. Amen? Because the fruits of the Spirit are completely different than the fruits of the flesh. And we are to put those things aside. And I want to bring out one part of the verse in Galatians chapter 5, verses 14 to 21. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. You see, I've had a lot of people come to me, and we've been talking about making disciples and what that means. And a disciple, it is impossible for a disciple or a follower of Jesus Christ, a true disciple, not to become more and more like Him. If you are a true disciple, it's impossible. You can't separate the two. And I've had a lot of people come to me in talking and discussing their faith, and they've said, well, and you've heard things like this as well. Well, you know, me and God, we're good. I'm a Christian. I believe in God. And I'm saved by grace, so I can do whatever I want. That's not what the scriptures say. It's not what the Bible says about how we are to get rid of, how we are to add to our faith. We are to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we are not able to stand on the fact that I am a Christian, I live my life however I want, thank you. Then you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, according to the scriptures. So we are not to do whatever we want. Can you imagine if everybody, and it looks like this is the way our culture is leaning, that everybody can do whatever they want? Whatever is right for you is right for you. There's no absolute truth. What is true for you is not true for me. So just, you know, get along. And the Bible says, no, that's not how we are to live our lives. If we truly are followers of Jesus Christ. And that doesn't mean that you're going to be perfect. Does not mean that you're going to be perfect. It does not mean that you're not going to have bad days. Does not mean that you are not going to struggle with certain things. And I've heard some people say, if you're not struggling with something in your life spiritually, you might want to check the barometer. Because there should be always something that God is putting His finger on, that God is saying, let's work on this. Let's get rid of this. Right now. And when we become Christians, God does not make a list and say, okay, tomorrow we're working on this and this and this and this and this and this and this. Because I don't know about you, but my list was quite lengthy when I became a Christian. I know most of you were like perfect, but I wasn't. I grew up like a Catholic boy. And in my mind, I could do whatever I want. I always believed in God. Always. I never doubted that there was not someone up there greater than me. But my view of who He was the angry old man with a lightning bolt waiting for me to screw up. But if I went and confessed my sins every week, I could hold that lightning bolt off a little bit longer. Because that's the way, what the church taught me. You can do whatever you want, but just make sure you say three Hail Marys and three Our Fathers. And if you've been really bad, throw an Apostles' Creed in there. And then you can go and live life however you want. My Bible says something completely different. That we are not to live our lives like that. We are not to have discord. We are not to have jealousy. We are not to have fits of rage. We are not to have selfish ambition. Now, the next one is slander. Slander. We live in a culture of slander. Do we not? Turn on the news. And I don't care which one it is, CNN, Fox, NBC, CNBC, it doesn't matter. You only have to listen for a few moments before you hear someone slandering someone else. Pull up the Yahoo page, front page. My server is Yahoo. And I get to the point where I don't even want to read it. Because it's someone slandering someone else. Or it's someone talking about, oh, Rihanna and Kim Kardashian wore the same dress. Who wore it better? Really? Oh, so-and-so and so-and-so may be dating. Who cares? I don't understand where our culture is going now. But slander is a very, very relevant and obvious thing in our culture. And I know that it doesn't matter who is in public office. I don't understand why anyone would want to be in public office. I would not want someone going into my archives of how I behaved in high school and part of my college and bringing things up. Because there's some things that I did I am not proud of. And the minute you throw your hat into the political arena, you might as well just buckle up because they're going to come after you. It doesn't matter if it was Mother Teresa running for president. They're going to find something bad about Mama T. But my Bible says in Titus chapter 3 verses 1 and 2, remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities. Yeah, there's a lot of that going on in America, isn't there? See, this is a letter written by Paul to Titus, who was basically one of his underlings. He was discipling Titus. And he wrote this letter saying, okay, you need to watch out for these things. He did the same thing in Timothy, in the letters that he sent to Timothy. But he's saying, as a shepherd, as a pastor, as a deacon, as an elder, as an overseer, remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities. You see, we're supposed to respect, whether we like them or not, we are supposed to respect those who are in authority. Now, that is completely countercultural to what we live in today. I know Christians who are on both sides of the spectrum. Some are red, some are blue. And sometimes they can't get along in talking about politics. That should not be. That should not be. We are called to love one another no matter what, even when we disagree. You see, it's easy to love someone who believes the exact same way that you do. And the thing is, there is nobody that believes exactly the way that you do. Nobody. So our Bible says that we are to treat one another with respect. The Bible says here, remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good. You see, we should have an anticipation of when we get up in the morning, Lord, I want to do what is good. I want to be a good representative of you. And especially as a representative of you, I want to reflect your love to other people. And help me to do that. Because when we get into an argument with someone else over religion or politics or whatever it is, we go into selfish mode. Do we not? The walls go up. We get attacked. So what do we want to naturally do? Attack back. And the Bible says, no, we're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to be different. There are certain people that I refuse to talk politics with and religion as well. I slip in my little stories, which is awesome. And I want to share a story with you. Can I share a story with you? It just happened to me this last week. It was absolutely amazing. Okay, so it was Tuesday. Tuesday is a very busy surgery day. I work in orthopedics. I deliver instruments and implants. So when you have a surgery on Monday, they use certain parts for that surgery that they put into the people. Knees, hips, and shoulders. Well, then you have to order those parts. And if you have another surgery the next day in the same hospital, we have to get those restocks in so that we have everything that we need when the next person goes on the table. So I don't know if you've noticed, but we've had some inclement weather recently. And so we had a big revision case on Monday, and we had another one scheduled for Tuesday, and we do not keep those implants in our office. So we have to wait until they come in the next day to restock them so they can have the scheduled surgery. Well, the surgery was scheduled at 2 o'clock on Tuesday, which should have given our FedEx guy plenty of time to get to the office because he usually shows up about 10:30. So everything's fine. It's all going to come in, no problem. And in fact, one of our guys is so smart. He goes, I don't trust UPS to get our stuff in on time. So I'm going to double order. I'm going to order one through UPS, and I'm going to order one through FedEx to make sure that we have this stuff for this big revision out at Valley on Tuesday. Well, UPS didn't show up. And FedEx, the planes were late getting in. And we get a phone call. Oh, by the way, we've bumped that surgery up to 10:30. Oh, dear. So we're sitting at the office. The rep is freaking out at Valley. And it's like, what do we do? The FedEx guy is supposed to be here at 10:30 if he's on time. We called and down to the hub. It hadn't even been loaded onto the truck by 9 o'clock. And we're near the end of the delivery route. So we are deciding, what are we going to do? Because if you don't understand how this thing works, the patient's already being prepped. The patient has not eaten anything since the night before. Then they have to come in 2 to 3 hours early to get prepped. So it's not just, oh, what an inconvenience. No, it's not good. And this is a revision. So this is someone who's having difficulty with the implant that they already have. And so at about 9:45, we call down to the hub and we say, can we get this for a hold for pickup? Just pull it out. And they says, you can't do that. And it just was loaded on the truck. The truck is gone. And I thought, oh, he'll be here by 12:30. So I turned to the guy that I work with and I says, I'm going to go look for our truck. And I have the name of my regular FedEx driver because we let him know when we have extra stuff he needs to pick up or whatever. This guy had just had surgery, so he's not the regular driver. And so I said, okay, I'm going to go find this stuff. I'm going to go look for it. and I got in my car and I pulled up to the road. I can go either right or left. And I just stopped and I went, Lord, I need your help. I don't know his route. I don't know where he goes. All I know is he pulls in here and drops stuff off. That's all I know. So I go, look, I'm going to need your help because you know where this truck is. So I just said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And I just felt him say, turn left. And I went, why would I turn left? All the businesses are this way. That doesn't make any sense. And he just said, turn left. I went, okay, I'm going to trust you. And so I go one block, and it's a one-way going this way. And I stop, and I'm looking for the traffic to clear. And there's the green light going this way up Sherman. And as I'm waiting for the last car to clear, out of the corner of my eye, I see a FedEx truck going across the intersection. And it looks just like our FedEx truck. And I go, sweet. So I had to go around the block, because it was a one-way, around the block, wait for the light, turn left, wait for the light, go straight. And then it's the way that we go back into Sacred Heart. We take a right on the other side of the freeway and go up this way. And I don't know what's straight. I don't know what's left. I've just only been to the right. So I pull up to the stop sign, and I realize I don't know where to go. And I just felt God say, go straight. Well, why would I go straight? I'm sure he goes straight. Okay, go straight. Go one block. There he is, parked in front of a business. He's getting all this stuff out. So I pull up to him, and I go, hey, do you deliver to our address here? Da, 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 da. He goes, no, this is my first stop. We just got loaded, and I'm not your driver. This isn't your truck. And I go, okay, well, do you know Dave? Oh, yeah, Dave. Dave's a great guy. He's not working today. I know Dave's not working today. But can you tell me what his route is? And he goes, oh, yeah, it starts over by Frey and Sprague somewhere. Okay. So I'm going to Freya and Sprague and driving down the Sprague, and I just ask God, okay, God, I get to Freya, where do I go? I just felt him say, turn left. So I turn left. And then I felt him say, turn left. So I turn left, and I go up back about four blocks. It had not been plowed. I was grateful to have a Denali. It had not been plowed. It was bad. Don't see, and I'm driving real slow, looking, you know, it's back in the industrial area and everything, and I'm just looking for one stupid FedEx truck, and don't see it. So then I turn right, and I'm going to go head back out to Freya, and as I get to Freya, I'm looking to check for information, or for traffic, so that I can turn right and go back, and as the traffic clears, I look up, and there's a truck right in front of me. So I go across, and he's about to pull out, and I pull right in front of him. And his eyes got really big. And I jumped down. I go, we have a medical emergency here. I need this package. Oh, let's see what we can do. Usually you can't drive up to a FedEx truck and say, I'd like to pull a package off of your truck, please. He goes, no, give me the paperwork. Here we go. He found it, checked it, everything was there, hightailed it to Valley, and dropped off the stuff at 10:29. And it's like, God is so good. He cares about the little things in our lives if we would just involve him in them. He really does. And I went back to the office to my two atheist friends, and I shared my story, starting with I stopped at the thing and asked God which way I should go. And I heard God say, turn left. And you want to see faces that are awesome? Tell a story to an atheist about God telling you what direction to go. You want to see, but you know what? That's my testimony. That was my story, and you know what? I don't care if you don't want to hear it. I'm going to share it. And I don't care if you're going to receive it. I'm still going to share it because it's what God did in my life. And it impacted our business, which is not a godly business by any means. But you know what? God has put me in that place to be a witness for Him, no matter what. And so when I share my stories and I look at their faces, kind of go, oh. And I can imagine when I go back into the break room or something and, did you hear him? He asked God which way to go. And he thinks God told him. I never would have found that truck had I not turned left and seen the other truck go straight. I would not have found the other truck if I hadn't followed that and then listened to God say go straight. So I wouldn't have found him and found out where Dave's route starts had I not listened to the direction God was going to give me. Because before I started, I thought, I'm just going to go down on second and just start heading towards division. And I totally would have missed everything by not being obedient to God. You see, here's the thing. Sometimes we ask God for his help, and then when he gives it to us, we reject it. Well, that doesn't make sense. It does not make sense in the physical realm to sit in a parking lot and ask God, which direction should I turn? You know, and I've met Christians like that. Well, God, should I have the ham sandwich or should I have the roast beef? God gave us a brain and expects us to use it. But there are certain times when we just need to go to him and say, God, I need your help here because I can't see the whole picture. You see, God's looking at it from up here. He knew exactly where that truck was. He knew exactly where that truck was. And you know what he could have done? He could have made that truck driver drive to our business first. But instead, he chose to test me to see if I would listen to him. You see, sometimes we want God to just deliver the truck to us. And sometimes God wants us to go step by step by step. And if we're not going to be obedient in the very first step, the second step ain't coming. It's not coming. So that is my feel-good testimony share of the week. Thank you for listening. All right. So it says that we are to, in Titus verse 3 through 1 through 2, remind the people to be subject to the rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, and to slander only some people. Slander only those who irritate you. Slander only those who are in the opposite camp as you are politically. No, this says slander no one. Nobody. To be peaceable and considerate, and always to be gentle toward everyone. That is what we should all be striving for. That is how we are to represent other people. That is how we are to treat brothers and sisters in Christ. And that is how we are to treat everyone else, including unbelievers who live their lives differently than you do, who may slander you. You see, that's the deal is we want to slander when we've been slandered. We want to come out fighting. And God says, no, you're supposed to be peaceable, considerate, and gentle to everybody. Amen? Can I get it? I've been fighting a cold. It's almost gone, but not 100%. So please bear with me. All right, the next part of this is gossip. I know we don't have any problem with gossip here. And actually, gossip is not in any church that you ever go to. So I don't know why it's put in the scriptures, because once you become a Christian, gossip is no longer a problem. I just lied to you. Proverbs 11:13 says, a gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy person keeps a secret. You see, I learned a lot from Pastor Lee. And one of the things that I really admired most about him is when he was counseling people, he did not share what was going on. There are certain times that something came to a head with somebody or a couple or whatever, and I had no idea what was going on, but Pastor Lee was taking care of it. He did not share that information because that information did not concern me. And there are certain people that no matter what you share, they're sharing it with someone else. And that is a gossip. There are certain people that thrive on gossip, that have to be in the know. And they're the people that if you say something about somebody else, their first response is usually, yeah, I knew that. I already knew that. I was privy to that information a long time ago. That is usually the sign of a gossip, when they have to let you know that they know something or that they knew the information before you did. This says a gossip betrays a confidence. It will destroy a friendship quicker than anything. You betray a confidence because you are not able to keep that secret. And there are certain people that I will tell things to, and there are certain people that I will not tell things to. You need to be wise in your friendships. You need to be wise in who you share certain information with. And in chapter 20, verse 19 of Proverbs, it says, a gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid anyone who talks too much. Avoid them. See, we are to be wise in who we choose to bring into our closest circles. We are to be wise in who we tell certain things to. And we need to express wisdom with certain information. There has been times when God has shared some things with me that I did not know prior. And then I get a revelation of, oh, I had no idea that this is going on. And the first thing that I do is say, God, why do I have that information? What do you want me to do with this information? You see, one time in the Bible, when Mary was pregnant with Jesus, and the angel began to talk to her and say, this is going to happen, and these things are going to happen. And then the thing that happened with her sister, she was pregnant at the same time. And things happened during this time and early on in Jesus' life. And it says that she harbored these things in her heart. You see, sometimes God reveals things to us that we're supposed to keep to ourselves. And in due time, they may come out later. But Mary did not go around blabbing all of these things about her boy that had been revealed to her. It says she harbored them in her heart. Sometimes when we get information about other people, we're supposed to use that as simply a way to pray effectively. And it doesn't mean you get on the horn and say, hey, I need you to pray for so-and-so because they're going through this. But keep it on the hush-hush. Nobody's supposed to know. That ain't right. It is not right. Some things, sometimes we just need to keep our mouth shut. And there are certain times, as a pastor, people will come to me and say, well, you're a pastor, you need to know this. No, not necessarily.
Some things I would rather not know. Please do not tell me what you're about to tell me. And usually it has absolutely nothing to do about anything. It's just gossip. So be wise, because it will betray a confidence. In Proverbs 16, verse 28, a perverse person stirs up conflict, and a gossip separates close friends. You ever met a troublemaker? I'm a troublemaker. I do. I love to stir the pot. All the people are, yep, I've seen that part of Jim. But I do it for my own enjoyment, because it's fun. It's not malicious in any way. But there are certain people whose buttons are a lot bigger than other people's buttons. Some people have big buttons right on their forehead. And all you got to do is go, dip. And actually, you don't even have to touch them. You just do this. I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you. This is talking about a person who is divisive. This is talking about a person who stirs up conflict. This is a person who likes to cause trouble. This is a person who likes to gather people into their camp and separate from the other camp. I don't know if you ever had in junior high and high school, some of the girls were kind of cliquey. I know. Bless you. You were in one of those cliques, weren't you? You didn't realize that you're in it. But no, there are certain people who want to divide into different camps. And they will begin to talk about someone who is in the other camp. And they will look for other people to gather into their camp. And what they do is they begin to build a fire of gossip and offense. And they look for other people who have the same bent and thought process as them. And then they get together and what? They feed the fire. Feed that fire of offense. Feed that fire of gossip. Feed that fire. And then pretty soon other people will say, oh, I saw your fire about so-and-so. Let me add this to this fire. And it causes conflict, discord, jealousy, and division. And this is not supposed to be a part of the body of Christ. Proverbs 26:20, without wood, a fire goes out. Without a gossip, a quarrel dies down. See, gossips like to quarrel. They like to get into little skirmishes. They like to, you know, see who can come out on top. I knew one girl that used to go to church here, and she was very proud of the fact that she could win in a tongue lashing with someone else. She was proud of that. She said, I don't care who it is, I'm going to win. And I thought, well, there's something to be proud of. That when you get into an argument or whatever, that you're nastier than the other person, and so you win. Well, according to this scripture, we're not even supposed to go down that road. Not even supposed to be part of our repertoire. I've said repertoire twice today. People are like, what? But these are things that Paul says we shouldn't have them in our midst. We shouldn't partake with them. Shouldn't even be a part of the body of Christ. Because there's enough garbage in the world. Amen? We're not going to go any further. I don't think you guys can handle anymore. We're going to have the music. You know what? Give it up for the music ministry team. We're going to have them come up right now.
I thought you guys did a great job. But you know what? We are to read these scriptures. We are to study these scriptures. We are to apply these scriptures. We are to obey these scriptures. I love that part that says, you don't get to do whatever it is that you want to do. You see, when we become Christians, when we confess that Jesus Christ is our Lord, it means that we are no longer Lord. That we no longer get to do what comes naturally to us. If it's gossip, then we need to pray, God, help me with this. If it's crying babies, I just wanted to get a dirty look from Beth as she walked out. You see, we're to live differently. And it takes time. And some of you are saying, you know what, I don't want to live differently. That's between you and God. But you know what? I am growing in my faith because I want to be more like Jesus each and every day. I want people to see Christ through me on a regular basis. I want to show love to people who don't necessarily get a lot of love. And if they live in the world, completely in the world, and the only love that they're getting is from people that they have to love first, it's a conditional love, that's a sad place to be. It is a really sad place to be. I got to see, I shared a story about the lady who I thought was very rude at Kootenai last week, I believe. And I always thought, wow, she never says hello. She works as a valet. And come to find out, she's deaf. She couldn't hear me. And I felt so horrible. It's like, well, she's not very nice. And then I heard her talk one time, and I thought, she's deaf. Because I had a friend in high school who sounded exactly the same way. And so I learned how to communicate with him. And I saw her Friday morning. And I make sure that we make eye contact. And I said, hello, how are you? And she was doing sign language with someone before I got there. And I saw her as I pulled in, and I says, I see that you do sign language. My daughter knows how to do sign language, Ashley. And she goes, oh, and so we started to talk, and actually you did too, didn't you? Oh. Both of my daughters do sign language. And, see, Stephanie thinks she's loved more than everyone else. So sometimes we got to put her back in her place. And Connor, the husband, just said, yeah. But I was talking with her, and she says, thank you. You speak so well and slow. And I says, well, I had a friend in high school who had the same thing. And she goes, you've always been so very nice. And it's like, I never did anything. I just talk slowly to her and acknowledge her. And that's all it took. I didn't have to get my Bible out and start quoting verses. It was a smile. It was meeting her right where she was on her level. And it blessed her, and it blessed me. So we sit back and we think, well, I'm supposed to be a disciple maker. I'm supposed to be doing this, and I'm supposed to be doing that. And I haven't recorded in my mind Galatians, and I haven't studied this, and I'll wait until then. No, every single day we have an opportunity to bless someone and show them God's love in the little things. Stop looking for the big things.
Be diligent and obedient in the small things, and then the bigger things will come. But if we're not diligent with and faithful with the small things, God ain't given us the big things. We got to learn to love right where we're at, with no excuses. Well, I'll do that when I'm not as busy. Well, I'm really busy. No, look for opportunities to bless someone right where you are, in the situation that you're in the circumstances that surround you. You have an opportunity to bless somebody. Amen? And when we bless other people, our Heavenly Father is blessed. He's blessed. It felt so good to drop those instruments or those implants off. And all I did was listen to God. Even though it sounds weird and it doesn't make any sense, we have a Heavenly Father that cares about the little things in our lives. All we have to do is acknowledge Him in them. He's up there going, "Why didn't you ask me? You receive not because you ask not." Ask Him. Ask Him so that you can be a blessing to someone else. Amen? Please rise.
Well, I've done it again. I just talked to my youngest daughter, and she says she's leaving the church. And you know what? She does not have a perfect dad. I know she thinks she does. But the thing is we're all imperfect people with our own problems, our own baggage, yet we're still called to love one another. And you know what? That's what we do here at New Hope Christian Center. We're not here to judge you. We're here to pick you up, to encourage you. We're called to love one another. We're called to be a family. And that doesn't mean that you're going to like everybody. But you know what? By golly, you better love everybody. Amen? Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. Pray that we would take these things to heart and that we would show your love to one another and to everyone that we come in contact with every single day. Help us to be diligently looking for opportunities to show your love. No matter how simple and small we may think it is, it may be the difference maker in someone's eternity. We thank you, Heavenly Father, and ask that you would use us according to your purposes and your plans, and help us to love you and to love one another. And everybody said, amen. Go find somebody to love.